Hi. Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I'm Jewel Karenin.
I'm Charlie James.
We're your hosts, and this podcast is all about the ins and outs of parasocial relationships.
We investigate our own parasocial relationships and interview the icons we all have parasocial relationships with.
Today, Charlie and I are back in the booth to talk about my friendship with Alexa Chung.
And John Mulaney's jaw.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
Killed it. Killed it. I'm so proud of, I was about to say, we're so proud of ourselves when we do the intro.
I'm so proud of us. Yeah, because I learned 2 weeks ago that you don't know how to read and speak.
Wait. No, back up.
That's what you said. Or you don't like
it. I just never learned to read out loud. That was not a skill that I learned. I can read and I can speak.
Well, excuse me.
It is difficult for me to do them at the same time.
Sorry,
but I'm getting better, Jewel.
You're doing amazing.
Thank you so
sweetie.
Much. Hey, okay. All right.
You are doing amazing. Every day, Charlie wakes up and has to read a bunch of intro sentences
out loud. Every day. We record every day. At the crack of dawn.
And make it sound engaging.
I rub the sleep out of my eyes and Jewel shoves a mic into my mouth and then we go. and that's how we record.
and then you guys keep listening.
If you had to do this every day, could you?
Yes.
Oh.
Aw. Yes, I
absolutely think I would run out of stuff to say.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
I think this is actually surprising.
We could just talk about my stuff. Don't worry.
Actually, that'd be great. I mean, I do like podcasts where one person is like, I have some stuff to say, and you are kind of just going to receive information.
But I don't.
Oh.
I want us to chat.
I guess I'm your audience, and you are my muse.
You would like that podcast, but I might not.
Right. But you would make it, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Then there we go.
Do you guys Listen. Like this podcast?
Yeah. If you like this podcast, there's a little thing you can do. And it's called leave a review.
Did you guys predict we were going to say that?
Yeah, I know.
If you did, that's so cute and smart.
That's nice of you.
Excellent pattern recognition.
You've been listening.
Good job. But have you been writing?
and reading it out loud?
Have you been summarizing?
Write a review or a rating, Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And Charlie will practice his skill of reading out loud.
I've been practicing. This year, I decided this is my year. This is my year.
Do you want to read? Do you want to practice right now?
I would love to practice right now reading a review.
Okay.
Here we go.
This one, I have have a special connection with this one. Check it out.
Okay. Oh, all right. This is from Original Dad. You do have a special connection with this one. The headline is Professional, 5 stars. You guys are big time. Keep making shows. I can't wait for Tuesdays now. Love, Pops. Jewel, that's your father?
I had no idea he wrote this.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know. It's so funny.
I knew it wasn't my dad. He would never call himself Pops, but I was like, that feels like something you do.
My dad is Pops. My
dad's so cute.
I think it's so funny that he wrote Original Dad as his nickname for the,
like, as though there's another.
That's Papa. That's so fucking funny.
Pops, thank you.
Thank
that's
you for
so
the
nice.
Review. That's hilarious. I really
wow.
Yeah,
I can't believe your dad's a listener.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he loves it.
Wait, that means so much to me.
As he said,
I knew about
I can't
mom.
Wait
but...
for Tuesdays now.
Oh. That's so special.
Yeah, so thanks for the review. And seriously, if you're my dad, write a review.
Yeah, and if you're not Jules' dad, write a review.
We might read it on the pod.
You never know.
We'll see. If you have a funny nickname, I really like
Is
the nickname
Is that what stands
feature.
Out? Yeah.
Well, Original Dad, that's hilarious.
It's cute.
OD, as it were.
Okay. Never mind.
Anyways. Oh, and one more piece of business. We have a Substack. It's kind of a secret. And I would like you to go put your email and subscribe to it. A Substack is what?
It's an email newsletter that goes to your email.
Very good.
Thank you. I've been trained.
Good. It's kind of like a hip
media
email newsletter.
Trained. Yeah. Well, I know people who have them. Yeah. Us. One. Two. My friend Mia. Three. Others.
Yes.
You know, can't beat that. Lots of people on Substack.
It's part of the media landscape, and I would like to chat to you guys.
It is part of the media landscape.
So go to parasocialsocialclub.substack.com, put your email in, and I'll send you a little treat.
Thank you.
And a wink. I winked.
And a wink. And I'm wink. Winking.
What's going on with
it's
you parasocially,
well, here
please?
We go. When we talk exactly at the same time perfectly. Okay. I just realized something about my story, and I'm going to try to conceal some information.
You'd realize something.
Oh, no.
Bad?
Actually, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to say this because it is literally fine.
Thank God.
I'm going to say where I work.
You've already said that a million times.
Have I really? I'm so fucking stupid. Have I really?
Yes.
A million times that I work at the Elysian Theater.
You've said that a million
That is so dangerous. Jewel, I have a full restraining order against a man.
I know.
He doesn't live here, but like,
I know.
Charlie.
I know.
Have you learned nothing?
Charlie, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you already know I work at the Elysian, and I realize I'm wearing the hat. So I was like, even if I don't say, it's so fucking clear. Okay. I was working at the Elysian. I was house managing this one night. And first of all, there were two shows that started at the same time. Very tricky to pull off as a house manager.
Wait, there's two theaters
there's
at
three
the Elysian?
Theaters at the Elysian.
Wow, they really
a brand new one
me.
For just for stand-up. And then there's a big warehouse. And if you think that probably not an ideal space for comedy, shut up. You're right.
Shut up!
So, and then there's actually the theater itself, which is beautiful. Two shows starting at the same time. Things had just died down. They were so hectic. Two sold out shows starting at the same time.
People are loving it.
I was straight up running. I was running around.
Totally.
And finally there's a lull. It's like 9 p.m. and Bill Burr and his manager walk into the Elysian, and his pal says, Bill Burr is here for the open mic. And I said the open mic was 4 hours ago. Oops. And he said, I'm Bill Burr. Hi, I'm Bill Burr. Can I please do 10 minutes right now on any show that you have?
Why? And I said, comedians like this, sorry, go on.
It is so weird. Really big comedians will drop in kind of random places. And it's like, I think he could have gone anywhere. I don't know why.
Maybe they did go somewhere else.
And then this was the last stop.
Yeah,
I just can't imagine anyone turning away. He was like, can I do 10 minutes? And I was like, yes, you are Bill Burr. Like,
yeah.
Of course. I think they would fire me if I had said no. Like,
yeah,
absolutely, you may. And so there was one in the big theater. There was a musical going on. So I was like, okay, Bill can't do 10 on a musical. That's not going to work. And so I went to the little stand-up space, and there was a show that was half stand-up and half clowning.
Perfect.
Hosted by a guy named Chris, who was wearing a full, Santa Claus outfit with short shorts. And so I'm like, Bill, will you give me 1 second? And I go into the little theater, and I pull aside this guy, Chris, and I go, excuse me, Bill Burr is here, and he would like to do 10 minutes on your show. And his face was like, what the fuck? What? And I was like, would you step outside and meet Bill Burr? And he's like, yeah, okay. And I watched Bill Burr shake the hand of a guy dressed as Santa Claus in these like tiny little shorts. And, you know, sure enough, to an audience of 40 people, we snuck Bill Burr in the back, and he did 10 minutes, and then he immediately left in his car. And it was a really strange night. I feel like I interact with some number of celebrities at the Elysian, but typically they are booked on shows. They are not. I just love the energy of like, I gotta do 10 minutes. Please.
Get me anywhere. Put me anywhere.
And
drive
like,
me anywhere.
I'm like, you could do an hour tonight Right. If you wait an hour until these shows are over, yeah, we like would put you up immediately.
If you could just tweet it out and be like, "Hey, we would sell out at the Elysian." Yeah,
we would say you're Bill Burr, and we would sell out.
That was so dad of me to be like, "You could just tweet it out," but like, I do think that's true.
No,
like,
it is true.
You
yeah.
could do that.
Well, I mean, there was one night where Conan O'Brien was coming, and it was a secret. It was a last minute, and it was a secret. He was doing Rory Scovel's show, and that sold out, and we don't even know how it got out. No one posted, hey, Conan's going to be there.
Right.
You know? So.
Word travels fast in this town.
It really does. It really does. But as a Bill Burr fan, I was pretty delighted.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Bill Burr chose your place of employment because he listened to our podcast.
And I think that that's what's happening. Yeah. And I say it so often.
He went, I never heard of that comedy theater. That sounds like a hip and happening comedy theater.
Actually, what he said was, Rory Scovel is doing an hour here on Monday. How do I do an hour here? And I was like, contact us even once on any, via email, via anything.
He has that old school, like, show up with your resume mentality.
I thought that was actually kind of chill. Like, that he wasn't like, he didn't like kick down the door and say like, I'm Bill Burr and I'm doing the show.
He kind of did.
Well,
I guess
he opened it softly.
Two different perspectives.
He asked for an open mic. He was willing to do five on an open mic.
Okay.
And he said, could I do 10 on a show? And the answer was yes for Bill.
Interesting. He also,
I showed him the theater and there was somebody up and he saw them on stage and he said, do you have to wear a tank top to do this show? And I was like, yeah, man, you do.
So are you guys like best friends?
We're like best friends. Like, yeah, we chat. But
did
that
you guys kiss? Or?
Come on. He's married.
Sure.
He is.
Sure.
Okay.
You never know.
You never know. No, because some married people cheat.
All the time.
And we're going to talk about that later.
We are?
Well, in a sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't even know what's going to happen on the podcast.
Those are the best ones.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
I love when you have wholesome comedy experiences with older white men.
Thank you. As a future older white man, I look up to them a lot.
Yeah.
And so often, older white men can be a real bummer.
Exactly.
Behavior-wise and kind of just interpersonally. But very nice. Very nice man.
I think that's a hilarious little power dynamic that you and Bill Burr had where you were like the ultra competent, like, what are you doing here, Bill Burr? I just ran around for 2 hours setting up two sold out shows.
I definitely told it differently because he said, I'm here for the open mic. And I said, yeah, it starts at, hey, what time does the open mic start? And everyone was like, you're house managing tonight. And I was like, yeah, but remember the open mic that's happening? What time? And they were like, it was at 5:30. And I was like, oh, it was 4 hours ago. Like,
I'm on your side, Bill.
Bill, I also thought the open mic was starting soon.
As far as I'm aware.
I'm normal. And so are you. And everyone else here is crazy. Easy.
Great status.
Anyways, yeah. Great, I love when two exchange. Redheaded men speak.
That's so true.
And I love when I'm one of them.
I forgot you guys had that kinship.
Yeah, but he's like the Irish kind and I'm just like different. There's just like something happening with me. I don't know.
Are you serious?
I'm not Irish at all.
What are you?
I think I'm like this because of Sweden.
Oh, that's cool too.
Yeah, my mom's Swedish.
That's like...
Biological mom. That... Yeah, there's lore. Yeah, there's a lot to that. We can't get into it.
We can do whatever we want.
Maybe that'll be my anecdote.
Erase
this? No. This can't be Charlie Therapy Hour.
Do you want to... Wait.
Do I want to expand?
Yeah.
I'm related to this lady who didn't raise me. And that's because my parents used an egg donor and they decided to not tell me about it. I guessed. At 19, I said, I am a different ethnicity than my mom. And that there is something to that.
They really did not luck out on the genetic phenotype.
No. This is my beef with that. They are two geneticists, my parents. The whole thing that they do for a living is make genetics happen. And I asked my dad after I knew, I was like, what was the criteria for this woman? Because you picked someone who doesn't look anything like mom. And he said, all we wanted was A woman who had been to college. I was like, that pool is so big. That is way too big.
Not to demean finishing college, that's a big deal, but the bar was on the floor.
She majored in textiles. It's like, I think, I just thought that there would be like, I don't know what I thought.
You do have a lot of lovely textiles in your home.
Thank you so much. Yeah. No, I have a lot in common with her, and that's sort of bizarre.
Genetics are real.
It really is nature and nurture. Seriously, guys.
Yeah, Jung, get out.
Who?
Jung.
Who?
The therapist guy. Jung.
Young?
Yeah. I think I said it right.
Not a chance.
I think I said it right.
Carl Jung.
Carl Jung.
Oh, maybe I'm right. Wrong.
Oh yeah.
I've been doing this a lot lately.
And I don't care. The thing is, I don't care.
But I've never heard it said like that ever.
And I'm never right about these things.
So let us know.
But I'm right.
By the time this is over, we'll know.
The point is, I don't believe in them.
Him. Please.
I mean, all of them.
You think,
you know,
Carl Jung used they/them pronouns? Not a fucking chance. There is no way.
No, I just mean he's plural.
Oh. Yeah, no, I know. That thing where people are plural. Oh, boy. Anyways, enough about me and kind of how I came to be. What is happening in your world?
I remember when it was early 2020. Mm-hmm. And everyone was following you on TikTok.
Yes.
And
fondly.
I wasn't, because we were not on speaking terms. And I didn't even know that was all happening over there.
Good.
And I was very, very alone, because I was living at my parents' house, but on a... like basically like an RV in their yard.
Whoa.
Because I was quarantining, because it was very, very early COVID and we didn't know how COVID worked.
So you thought that you had to be separate from your parents?
Well, the prevailing knowledge at the time was, we don't know at all. So if there's any suspicion that you could have COVID, you need to be separate for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then I got a little sick in the trailer. So then I was in there for like 4 or 5 weeks or something.
Oh my God.
So I'm very alone in this trailer. And honestly, it was an artistic renaissance for me. I had a lot of thoughts. I ended up writing a feature script based on one of the thoughts I had in that trailer.
Did you go outside?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. It was the suburbs. So.
Okay. You were okay to like walk
around.
It was
very easy to walk around.
Yeah. And you wrote a feature.
That
Good
was
for
later.
You.
It was just based
That's
on
productive,
an idea
though,
I had.
Actually. Because a lot of people were like, I'm going to use this time.
I didn't.
And didn't. Yeah.
I didn't.
I also didn't.
No.
Aside from TikToks, I really didn't do anything.
It was a horrible time.
Yeah.
But something special happened during this time.
Mm-hmm.
This musician named Briston Maroney, who is a young sort of like indie rock, alt folk rock artist, was doing live streams during... that time.
On where?
Instagram.
Platform. Okay. Instagram.
And he was just doing them. He was playing a few songs. He was chatting with us. And I was watching them. They were really good. He's an incredible singer. And like, it was great to see him play live. And there was a very active chat.
I love an active chat.
Very active chat, because everyone is...
Is he... Sorry. I have questions already.
Go on.
Is he hot?
Yeah, he's like a little younger than me, so I...
Right, you're like, I don't feel comfortable saying...
I personally would not ask him out, but yeah, he's hot.
Well, I guess I want to know the nature of the chat. Is the chat like, you know, Mr. Maroney, marry me? Or is it like, good song?
The chat is very, Gen Z, but let me be more specific. The chat is very like, do you like Ratatouille? And then there's like a whole inside joke about Ratatouille happening that I, a millennial, do not understand.
Wait.
And cannot get in on to save my life.
Why? What was he singing? about Ratatouille? Like, why?
No.
Okay.
They were just making generational jokes that I did not understand.
As the resident Gen Z.
They're younger than you.
That's crushing. I honestly, I don't even know. I've seen Ratatouille. Like, I get that. But I don't know why they're saying it. I don't know what the bit is.
I didn't either.
Did you look into it?
Of course I tried to look into it.
You're Googling Ratatouille? Ratatouille Gen Z.
Well, the thing that was so startling was that, like, you know, sure, there were some context clues. I probably did understand the joke to some extent, but, like, I couldn't replicate the joke.
And you couldn't, like, get in on it.
And
you
couldn't get in on the joke.
I see where we're going.
Like, I was not yes-anding the joke correctly, for sure.
Okay.
But Briston was.
Does he look like a little rat?
No, it wasn't. Okay. It's not that simple. Okay.
All right.
It's not that simple.
Well, now people love to say, like, oh, he, little rat boy.
Totally.
I love that rat boy.
Different era.
Yeah.
Totally different era.
There's people who love to say, I love that rat boy. And then there's another faction of people who say, you can just not be so weird about Jewish men. And they both go back and forth about, like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yes. So
yeah, you tell me what it really was.
So we're playing fun times in this chat, and it's a lot of fun. I'm like tuning in at the time when he's gonna play, that type of thing. And something is happening in these chats where these children are going, I'm making a group chat. Anyone who wants to be added to the group chat, I'm making a group chat. So these kids out here, they're making tens of group chats based on these Insta live chats, which means that they're opening a group chat and manually typing in usernames that they saw in the chat.
Because they don't follow you. It's not like all friends.
Correct. And like, I think you can like click usernames from the chat, but it's still like not that easy to like get everybody in the chat.
Copy pasting.
You can't from the live stream platform.
Oh.
Like you would have to like click the username.
So they'd
have
to be like, okay, at Jewel Karenin.
Yeah. Yeah, my Instagram username. Yeah.
Weird.
So anyways, so they're creating these things and I'm like, this is interesting because I haven't really been engaging in like Stan fandom in a long time. So I don't know about these group chats, but this is where I learn that there are group chats like this all over the world because the kids don't have Tumblr.
Ugh.
They need some other way to stand people together and talk about
and have a group
fandoms. So
yeah.
They're making these group chats. They're making these group chats.
It's all the same. We're just reinventing
exactly.
On a different platform.
And even as I'm saying this now, I'm like, I don't understand. I'm like, I understand this a little bit, but I barely experienced it. So like, if somebody can tell me, if somebody can chime in.
Can tell you what is confusing about this?
Well, it's not that it's confusing. It's just like, surely there's more to this that I don't quite understand. But okay, anyways.
Okay.
I'm just saying this, I think there are like millions of group chats like these. And I
for everything that you could stand. There's like some K-pop group, some group chat, I mean.
And so what's interesting to me about it is that they're not visible. So there's no way for me to look at them and understand the norms and learn the culture and watch the fandom happen. Whereas every other fandom has happened in plain view on forums or on
blogs.
But
this is like a private chat.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there are a lot more of those and always have been.
That's true. There definitely always have been.
Yeah. Or like a Discord. This to me is, I'm like, actually, you guys should get on Discord.
They should get on Discord. But these are a different type of fan because they are, a lot of them are like, they're not all like white people, but they're a lot of like more conservative demographic people.
What? Why?
Because Briston is a Southern white boy, a cute
Southern
white boy.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And so in conclusion, I was in this group chat with all of
you
these children.
You said me, put me in. I would like to be in the group chat. I've never seen one before. I've never seen one. Put me in.
It's in this group chat with all these
you
children.
Little MAGA babies.
And I literally am like trying to infect their mind with like, you need to wear a mask and like stuff like that. I seriously was.
And what are they saying? They're like, no, fuck you.
No, they're like, yeah, this is such a scary time.
Oh my God, they're scared.
They're really cute. And they're all like,
wow.
not all of them were children, but like some of them were, because I noted that because I was like, I need to interact with this chat very in a very specific way, because some of these are literally 15-year-olds.
You're literally in there like, hey guys, where do you want to go to school?
Yes.
Cool. That's a great school.
I felt like I was the chaperone for the chat. I was like, everyone be nice to each other.
Who here loves the Common App? What's everyone's extracurriculars looking like?
And they're all miserable because it's COVID.
Yeah, so like nothing is happening to them.
We can't go outside. We're stuck at home. And anyways, it was crazy. And it like I could still message the group chat right now. And like if I was going to see Briston, I think I went to see Briston last year. And I don't remember if I messaged it. But like there have been times where it's like the group chat hasn't been active in like 6 months. And someone will be like, seeing Briston tonight. And then there's like 17 likes on the message.
Everyone's like, hell yeah.
I was like, yay.
Good for you.
And it's so cute. And one more thing about this. Briston himself, I'll save a little bit of this for another time. But Briston himself, they added him to the to a lot of the group chats.
Does he remove himself?
No, he doesn't remove himself.
He probably doesn't even know. He probably has it like in a folder. You know, like a request folder.
He responded in our group chat.
What?
Yeah. So this is, and this man is signed. Like he's on a real major record label. He knows what he's doing.
What did he say?
He said, like, thank you guys so much. Like, keep up being nice to each other. Heart envelope emoji.
And that probably got a billion likes.
And everyone,
however big a group chat is, I don't know.
Yeah, probably got like 20 likes.
That's
how like many,
that's
people.
The max.
And,
wow.
And then everyone is like, thank you, Briston. Like, everyone's being really normal because we're having a direct interaction because we're all like, yeah, we know Briston. We hang out on his live streams. Like, no one is like freaking out, but it's also really sweet.
Wait, maybe this is the key to making everyone behave nicely.
Is to
have somebody there in the chat who you want to be kind in front of, such as someone you're a huge fan of. You're like, ugh, you know. I can't be evil. Briston's here.
It's good for community management.
That works.
To imagine that God, it's like God. It's like, I can't be bad in front of God.
Well,
God will send me to hell. That's how religion works.
Mr.
Right?
Moroni will kill me dead.
So, yeah, it was a very fascinating experience and an interesting. Why was I thinking about it? Oh, I was just thinking about it because you released new music. It was fucking great. Good job, Briston.
I'll check him out. I can't wait.
Beautiful
indie
voice.
Rock-y folky.
Beautiful voice.
Love that stuff.
And he was on American Idol like after I stopped watching American Idol.
Oh, wow.
That's how young he is.
Did you go back and watch?
Of course not.
Not of course not.
Of course not.
You like him.
No one on American Idol is expressing themselves correctly.
Well, you're going to need to say more about that. No one on American Idol is expressing themselves correctly.
No one on American Idol is portraying themselves as the artist that they are meant to be.
Why?
Because they're on a reality TV show where they have to be pigeonholed. And also, they're all like 12. That's the main thing, is that most contestants on American Idol are like 16
yeah.
to 20.
I think maybe they're like, this is the first time I've had to be somebody in front of people.
Yeah, and a producer's telling me how to do it. And yeah. I just got eliminated. And ow!
Is American Idol one of the shows where they really dig into like your trauma?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. I don't like those kind of shows. Like it always, as a huge fan of Survivor, when they do all the info about like one specific person's life, I'm kind of like, I do not want to know the worst thing that happened to you.
Yep.
And sometimes it's really bad. And then other times, the times that annoy me the most are when they're like, yeah, things are bad. I can't believe I'm even saying this, but my parents got divorced when I was a kid. And it's like, yeah, you and everyone else I've ever met. Oh, my God. And then somebody else will be like, yeah, you know, a volcano erupted and that's how I lost my leg. And you're like, these are not comparable experiences. And they are being, the same music is playing under them. You yeah. cannot say that these are the same.
And you're watching those packages. And if you've been watching Survivor for a million years, like I think you have and yeah. I have, something inside of you has recognized a pattern and knows that that person's probably going to get eliminated tonight.
Well, but sometimes no.
Sometimes no.
And when they subvert it, that's the real thing. I actually can't look at the things where Survivor fans have figured out like who wins based on the edit. I can't look at that because I really don't want it to be spoiled. But people know, they'll be like, oh, well, they showed this many clips of her in the first episode. And then, like, this girl they barely showed, but she's really heavy in two. And I think that that means, and it's like, ugh, I can't learn the math of that.
You know what? Survivor has actually done a really good job of making me not want to learn the math of that. Whereas The Bachelor is the complete opposite. I can only watch Bachelor because I'm playing the metagame. It's like a horrible, unwatchable show otherwise.
I know exactly what will take place.
But Survivor is like, actually, I'm just having a fun time watching my show.
Could you tell, based on the Matt season and
Matt
Rachel?
James?
Yes, Matt and Rachel. Could you tell that that was going to go down?
No. That was a complete shock.
Okay, great. It was a huge shock to me.
It was a complete shock.
That was crazy.
His season was a mess.
It was a mess.
Jesus,
it was a mess.
Christ.
But
God,
the good thing is he seemed nervous the entire time, and that is my favorite.
I stan him, by the way.
Oh, he's great.
I love Matt James.
He was really sweet. I liked the newest one too, whatever that guy's name was. I don't even remember. He was just so cute.
He had curly hair.
Yeah. No, that's your thing. That's not my thing. Jewel likes little freaks with curls.
And so does America, apparently, because he was the most popular bachelor in a long time.
He was so handsome.
His name's Joey, by the way.
And he was a little bit, maybe it's just how they portrayed him. He seemed so dumb. He seemed so dumb. He'd be like, where's Italy? And they'd be like, what?
You're talking about curly hair Joey, the tennis
Joey,
player?
Yeah. You don't think they made him look dumb?
I think they made him look hot.
Well,
so I
wasn't, you're right
listening
about that. You're like, I actually don't know what he thinks. My ears were closed. Wow. Maria.
Icon, queen.
Icon.
Absolutely love her.
And so much more iconic that she did not want to be the Bachelorette.
She dropped out. She had She had it.
Oh, she totally did.
She had it in the bag and she said, no, I don't want it.
She was undeniable. She's talking to him. She pulls him aside. They're in a room. They're talking. She goes, I need to change my clothes. And then she leaves for however long and comes back in a completely different outfit that is way more revealing. And I was like, what a legend. She goes, excuse me for one moment. I need to change all of my clothes. Wait right here. That's that is diva behavior.
She's a professional.
I
she
love
was
her.
A professional. She's born to do that show.
Yeah.
I literally can't wait to see what she does next. I hope she gets her own TV show a la like the Kardashians.
Oh, I would love her little Italian family. Or were they Italian?
I don't know, but they were French? Like definitely portraying Italian.
They were giving Italian to me. Greek. Actually, you know what?
Actually, we're not allowed to say
it's none of my business. It's none of my business.
Yeah. Thanks for talking about The Bachelor with me.
Anytime.
I love to talk about
it. I actually forgot
Bachelor.
That I like it until we were talking about it. Golden Bachelor? Whoa.
Are you watching Golden Bachelorette right now?
No, I haven't been.
I have been, but then I fell off because it was.
Do you like her?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't even know what she looks like.
She's old.
Is she hot?
I don't know.
Okay. What?
I don't know.
What is this with you acting like
she
you don't know if someone's
eyebrows.
Hot? Okay. I don't like that if someone isn't exactly your age, you're like, I actually can't tell if they're hot. And it's like,
no,
what?
No, it's.
I'm just saying to other people in their age range.
Is she hot to the men? I don't know.
I'm going to look her up after.
She can't move her eyebrows because she has, like, you know.
Botox.
Normal. Yeah,
wait,
Botox.
Normal?
Well, I think it's normal because nobody over the age of 50 on TV can move their eyebrows.
Yeah.
Except for Laura Dern.
I don't think she gets it.
Laura Dern.
The Botox.
Thank you for moving your eyebrows.
You got to move them. That's like the one place I wouldn't do that because
we
need
to
express.
We have
okay,
to
I'm so
on.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. squandered
wait,
our time.
Wait, this is so relevant.
Speaking of.
Okay, so in our parasocial relationship tracker, your note is John Mulaney, new jaw discourse.
This is the perfect segue. Speaking of people who have cheated on their spouses.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
it's all coming back.
Very good.
It's all coming back. Actually, I say cheated. There is literally no proof or evidence that he cheated.
You're right.
I just have to say that because I feel like everyone jumped on that so fast because it happened quickly. And what I want to say in a parasocial sphere is you don't see the stuff that they don't share with you. So you have no idea when each of those relationships started and ended. And it's like there might have been zero overlap. And just to you, it seems fast because you were stuck inside for 2 years while they were falling apart.
You know what? I agree with you. And I agree that the public is too quick to accuse someone of cheating when they just literally jump into a relationship the next day.
Right. I also feel like most long-term relationships that end, there's like a point at which they died a long time ago and you're still in it, you know? So like, I don't know.
So in conclusion, we defend John Mulaney's action. JK. Anyways, what the fuck is in your job?
I don't think he did anything wrong. I don't understand. People who are like, I can't. What he did to her book sucked. Okay. All right.
You don't even know that. You just adopted that opinion based on a podcast.
Yeah, but they read pieces of it and Jewel. It was so bad.
I'm just saying.
It was so... Okay. You're so right. I didn't read the book. I saved myself the $20.
I'm keeping you honest.
What we need to talk about is that upon entering this new relationship, John Mulaney also debuted... He debuted not just a girlfriend, not just a baby, but a new jaw and face. And it's subtle. I know. I can see your eyes. You're like, I don't know.
I didn't know.
If see a picture of him recently, you're like, something's going on in that lower third. And everyone on TikTok is saying jaw implant.
Oh.
Chin implant.
Okay. Exciting.
And I have a lot of thoughts on this. One, obviously, when you get sober, your weight changes.
For sure.
So it's possible that that's just like a small factor, you know.
Let's put it in the hopper.
Right. Yeah. That's possible. That is something that could happen. But a little thing about me is that I am transgender. And... Boo.
Charlie, no.
Boo.
No, don't say that.
Spooky.
No, don't say that.
No, don't say that.
No,
don't say that about you.
It's true.
It is true. And I was looking into, people love to talk about FFS, facial feminization surgery. They don't talk much about FMS.
FMS, facial masculization. Did I? What the fuck? What did I say?
Masculization? Fine. Close enough.
It sounds the same as feminization. Did I even say that right?
Okay, sorry. I was looking into it. For me, not for like a friend. I guess is why I said I was transgender.
Thank you.
Okay. I was looking into it. And, but I'm tired of having surgery. I'm full to the gills of surgery. I've had one and I'm exhausted. I'm about to have two more. I'm over it. So I was like, what's a thing that you can do to your face that is facially masculinizing that maybe isn't like a full-blown, I have to be away from my friends and family for like a month type thing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that comes up a lot that a bunch of trans men have had done, is they get chin and jaw filler. And that's what I think he had because I don't think that there was a downtime that we saw. I mean, virtually the second he got out of rehab, he started being on TV and touring again. Mm-hmm. And his face didn't look the way it does now. So I think he's actually getting filler and they're not implants. That is my professional transgender opinion about John Mulaney's new jaw.
Interesting. Yeah. In an implant, I mean, I feel like an implant would be pretty obviously... There would be a noticeable...
They do try to make it look...
Profile.
Well, let me show you.
Let's break out the tapes. I want to see the skeletal x-rays.
I will show you photos. What you're saying is, God, I want to see a video. And I'm saying, no. This is him now. This is him, like, today.
Oh.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is him before.
I'll describe. His cheeks look like they have been filled out.
But it's not his cheeks. It's lower than that.
Lower cheeks. Lower under the cheeks.
Almost, would you say, jaw and chin? Oh, my God.
The jaw, yes.
The bottom of his mouth.
Wow, he looks
See?
Good.
He does. He looks great.
He's looking good.
But like, this looks very different than this.
Yes, he went from being a very skinny little guy to being a little wide jaw little guy.
That'll happen. That's what happened to me.
There's so much speculating I could be doing right now about the reasons his body is different.
And I also want to say, if I got married to Olivia Munn, I also would probably do something to my face.
Yeah, for sure.
She's Olivia Munn.
I know. She's so perfect.
Yeah. So it's like, keep up.
That's...
You cannot just be funny. You need to be other stuff. Hot. And get a good jaw on you. Why not? You know?
Yeah. So is this like important? What?
Jewel.
What?
Has anything we have ever said been important? I see your question and I raise you Briston Maroney child group chat.
No, it was important.
I raise you
absolutely
Bill Burr speaking to me one time.
Well, what I mean is, touche.
That is the funniest question you could have possibly asked. No, it is not important.
Touche, but I just mean, is this important to you? Or is it just cool that you figured it out?
Several. People now, I saw this online and I was like, I don't care. Who cares? And then now people in my life have started talking to me about it out of their mouth, verbally.
Right.
So it has become a part of my life, is this discussion. And I do have something to add to the discourse that no one has brought up.
Right.
So I have to say, you haven't thoroughly researched filler. You're speechless. You're literally speechless because I said Briston Maroney child group chat unimportant.
What I'm getting from this is it's important.
It's important to somebody.
I'm hearing that this is important.
I don't care when people have work done.
No, me neither.
I'm like, yeah, same.
Well, unless they can't move their eyebrows, then I'm upset.
And then actually, yeah, we're such hypocrites. We're like, well, unless they have the most common of all procedures. Then I'm furious.
It's so important to express. I actually eyebrows.
Do. I think the fear of wrinkles is sad to me, but if you fix it, it's like, whatever. Do you, you know?
Yeah. And also, I don't need the bachelor to be able to express herself. I don't need that. Like yeah. I said, I'm watching a totally different game than you guys are watching.
Well, and she's the old one.
Yeah, exactly.
She's golden. And I think, like you know,
statue.
After a certain point, it's like, okay. It's like you can do whatever you want to yourself, your face. You're old.
Thank you for this important addition to the John Mulaney.
Thank you.
It is important.
Here's my parasocial relationship tracker.
I want to update you on someone very important to me.
Oh, speak.
10 years ago, the Great British Baking Show was on. Great British Bake Off.
What?
Sorry.
10
I
years
called
ago.
The wrong name.
Don't know.
It's still on now. And you may remember a couple episodes ago, I used a couple correctly. I used the phrase a couple correctly.
I actually noticed, and I'm pretty happy for
me
you.
Me too. Okay. I'll never do it again.
It means two.
It was
in
an
this
accident.
House.
It was an accident. Anyways, a couple episodes ago, I talked about one of the current contestants who I'm developing a parasocial relationship with because she's so funny and charismatic, and I love her. But a long time ago, there was a contestant named Ruby Tando. And she was one of the youngest players of all time. She was 20.
So you know how to say Ruby's name, but you didn't know how to say the other Bake Off person.
Ruby and I are in a long-term relationship.
Got it. And that's why.
Yeah. Absolutely. I learned how to say her name. Fuck's sake. I would never disrespect her. She was very beautiful on the show and very sarcastic and dry and kind of unhappy to be there. Kind of having a bad time.
I actually love that. having seen very little Bake Off, I do like when people are like, I am here against my will and I don't even really like baking.
That pretty much never happens.
No. But when it does, I'm like, thank God. Somebody having a hard time on the nice show, that's special. So that's different.
And she was so... Okay, so like there's Paul Hollywood, who's just like literally the devil. He's like the evil judge.
Okay.
And he's just...
He's the one who kind of looks like clay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tan clay.
He does.
Orangey
tan clay.
He's too
tan.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
So there's him. So we have these two male devils on this show, him and Noel Fielding. Mm-hmm. And Noel Fielding is always flirting with everyone, as I've mentioned before. And so, of course, he's hella flirting with Ruby because she's young and hot.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, at this time, Paul is also has a weird vibe, especially with the younger women. He's since cleaned up his act a teeny bit on screen. Well, who knows if he's cleaned up his act behind the scenes. They never do they?
They never do.
They never do.
Wow. Okay. But he's like, I need to slow my roll.
But back then, on Ruby season, not at all. He was like just as weird and annoying. And Ruby fucking hated them. You could tell. She didn't want to play their fucking games. She was annoyed. She was mad. And
Perfect for you.
I love her. I love her so much.
She's like, I'm setting boundaries tonight. And you're like, wait.
Yes. But she can't, you know, because she can't actually set boundaries because she's on a TV show and she's 20. But like, you could just tell, or at least I was projecting onto her, that she was just doing what she could.
You could see in her eyes that she was like, I'm done.
Yes. And, I'm in love with her, and I've been in love with her since this show premiered.
Wow.
And I follow her on Instagram, and she never posts, and she's a writer now, and she does
not... She's not a chef anymore?
She, like, writes about food, but she's not, like...
She's not like, here's a pizza pie I made.
Not at
ever.
All. Not at all. She's like, here's, like, an incisive documentary article about all of the... best ice cream places in London with a geopolitical bent.
I love that.
She's so smart.
You should call her. You should DM.
I think she's in a long-term relationship
with
a woman.
Woman. Okay. So there's a chance.
Named Jewel Karen.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
No, she's in a long-term relationship. And excuse me. This is one of my parasocial relationships where as soon as she appears on a podcast, I listen.
Immediate.
I have all the data I could have.
You should get a Google alert for her.
That's going too far. It needs to come to me organically.
You're like, okay, please.
It needs to come to me. She needs to offer it to me.
Wow. And that's boundaries.
Yeah.
You really okay. Only want what she has to offer.
It's okay for me to say I've been in love with her for 10 years.
But I would never set up a Google alert. No. Me? No.
No, never.
Wow.
I love her and I wish her well.
Good for you, and good for her.
Did you know that's your catchphrase?
I've said that now twice in a row, yeah.
Wait.
But that's how I feel.
You said it twice in a row?
Twice in the last three episodes. Is that better?
I think you might have said it more times.
But that's always the when someone tells you a story about them, I'm like, that's the takeaway. Good for you. Unless it's sad. And then it's like bad for everyone.
You say it a lot to be sassy, though.
No, I never mean it sassy. I really don't. I don't think I've ever meant it sassy in my life.
I'm just going to leave that one to the listeners.
Okay. All right.
I'm just going to let the listeners.
Just know, however my inflection may come off, I am earnest in my goodness for you-us, you know? I really want everyone to be happy. You especially, and your wife. Ruby.
I hope she never listens.
Really?
Yep.
Do you hope... Okay, let's do a run through. Do you hope Muna listens?
Yeah.
Do you hope your NASCAR boy listens?
Oh, yeah.
But you don't hope that she listens?
No.
Why?
She's my grade school crush. didn't
answer for me anything.
It's not... Not
I don't.
We've grown out of the maladaptive parasocial relationship habits.
Yes, because we're adults.
Yeah, this one still lives back there.
Because it started at that time.
I think so.
Yeah.
I never grew up.
I completely get that.
This one never grew up.
You're like, that is way too much.
So yeah, it's inappropriate. She should not listen.
Great. If Ruby.
If you're listening
right now, turn it off.
Turn it off.
5 stars. Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Yeah,
but leave a review first. Ruby.
You are a writer.
After that, hey.
After all.
And you know what it takes to leave a review is to be a writer.
Should we move on?
We should. Let's do it.
To the Parasocial Scholar Corner.
Here we go.
In which?
We further our goal of becoming the preeminent scholars on the parasocial phenomenon. We unpack some facet of the beast today.
Okay.
The beast that is parasocial relationships, by the way.
Don't worry. Our listeners are really smart. They make all kinds of inferences based on what we say, and they're always correct.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me.
I put something here, but I'm actually changing my mind. Well,
what?
I want to talk about something else.
Okay.
I want to talk about...
Surprise me.
Why relationships... Because we talked about The Bachelor earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about why relationships make us tick and make us more parasocial about people. Let me explain.
Mm.
The Bachelor is a show about people falling in love. So naturally, it follows that when people get into couples... Those couples become very successful on social media and people very much parasocially attach to them, right?
Yeah.
However, I think this also applies to media properties that are not about relationships necessarily. I think that for some reason, there's something about like watching a romantic relationship or a friendship relationship that extra allows us to hook into like becoming parasocial or invested in someone.
Mm.
Like those TikTok, that TikTok couple we talked about a few weeks ago.
Neem and the other one.
Yeah, which by the way, my friend told me that we're pronouncing Neve's name wrong and it's actually Neve.
You don't say M?
Can you believe?
It's Neve?
But like, I swear to God, I've seen her say it. But then I was like, well, maybe I just can't hear.
No, I think she's saying...
I think she's saying Neve, but like, maybe she's saying Neve.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
When Irish people name themselves each other, they name each other, it is tough for me. My mom I got like a real live mispronunciation. She said, we're watching a movie and she said, is that Cersei Roman's husband?
Damn.
And I was like, well, first of all, it's Saoirse Ronan, but also, can you blame her?
I mean, no.
Saoirse, that is serious.
I can't.
We don't have anything like that.
And I was so proud of myself when I learned how to say her name.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like when I say it, I'm like, God, that's good.
God,
that's
good.
A name. God, I'm good. God, I'm good at talking. Saoirse, hell yeah.
So.
Anyways, yes, those kind of couples, they do really well online because we love to see people in love.
And we love to ship people and imagine that they are in secret relationships that they may or may not be in.
I think we like that more than seeing people together.
I do.
Completely. And I feel like so often I see someone who's like, oh no, Paul Mezcal is dating someone. I'm devastated. As though you and Paul Mezcal were going to get together. No. But, you know, people like to imagine.
Huh.
And it gives certainty where... Before you could kind of project anything you wanted.
Yes, totally. You can invest in your own fake relationship with that person.
And I will.
But I really like shipping people when I don't actually know the information. I really like to imagine what's going on behind closed doors, friendship or romantic.
Really? Well, that's what's nice about fiction. Is it's like, it's not real, so you can be like, yeah, I want these two together, you know?
Yeah, but I like to do it about real people.
Oh. Oh, like who? Or can you not say?
Well, I have, actually, my friend Belle was, I don't know the names of these people, so it's okay. But Belle's listens to this other podcast that's not our podcast.
She what?
Yeah, I know.
She what? That's crazy. I can't even really imagine that, but okay.
But Belle also listens to our podcast. Shouts out. And
she's Polly. I love Belle. Okay, go on.
And they were telling me about how this other podcast, it's two people and they have this fun dynamic, and they had a new friend.
Sounds like somebody I know, but go on.
Okay.
All right.
I just said nothing.
Two people, fun dynamic. on a podcast? Crazy.
And they had a friend on, and Belle was like obsesso with the dynamic between this new friend and one of the hosts. So then Belle was like, kind of like, and sorry if I'm getting this wrong, but I think I'm going to tell the story correctly. I think I got a good understanding. I was like, oh God, I need more of this. I need more of this dynamic. And like went out searching for like, have they ever been on another podcast together? Have they made any content together? Fortunately, Belle did find some content.
Wow. Good sleuthing.
I was like, that is so true. Like, that's so powerful. Like, you know, somebody could come on our podcast and have a better.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
They could have a
better. A better.
Okay, okay. It's ridiculous.
Better.
It's
a connection to one of us.
It's a ridiculous
than
idea.
We have to it's each
a,
other.
It's a ridiculous.
Is that what you were going to say?
I would never.
I dated one of our guests and I have a better. Well, I don't know.
So, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It could happen. And I just think it's interesting how we like cling on to the way that people relate to each other and then go, that's the dynamic
yes.
that I want.
Well, people do this all the time with the girl who does the chicken shop interviews.
Oh my God.
Whose name I don't
her.
Know.
Amelia de Moldenberg.
I don't get it.
I love her. I actually don't ship her at all with any of those people.
No, sorry. I get her. I don't get the shipping.
Yeah, no, me neither.
I don't get like, it's like a 5-second clip of her flirting and everyone's like, yes, them together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she is bringing the chemistry and sometimes they're not even giving her very much.
Often they're not giving her very much at all. And this is particularly relevant because a few weeks ago, the Andrew Garfield video came
yes.
out. And my God, the stands were clogging up my timeline.
Which I didn't understand even a bit because it seemed like he was just kind of being a jovial, normal man.
Should I say that what I truly feel?
Yeah. Yeah.
I found,
Garrett's nodding.
I found him insufferable.
Thank you for being brave and standing up to Andrew Garfield, one of Spider's best men. And you said, I'm putting my foot down and I don't like your attitude. You find him insufferable on that show or just kind of like across the board?
We have a little bit of history. I watched his movie Under the Silver Lake at the Cinedome.
Is it about Silver Lake?
Yes.
We've talked about this before.
It is about okay. Silver Lake. Is it called the Cinedome? You know, the big dome that used to be on Hollywood Boulevard?
I don't. I don't know
well,
it.
You're younger than me.
Okay.
And he did a talk back after. To which I was like, whoa, Andrew Garfield is here. That's weird. And he was so like couldn't be bothered to be there. And like he was kind of like annoyed that movies get made.
And that rubbed you totally the wrong way.
And he was like, British and I didn't know that.
Oh.
So that also was a surprise.
Yeah.
So then I watched his Amelia de Moldenberg, I think I'm saying that right, video. And
that's crazy name.
And I know.
That's crazier than my old last name. De Moldenberg?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
And so I already had this history with him. And God, she is so funny.
Yeah.
And he was just there. And then the whole internet went, they are in a real relationship.
I think, honestly, it's that she is funny and he is handsome.
And they go,
you don't think he's handsome?
I don't really want to say it, but no, I don't think he's handsome.
Huh.
Sorry.
Huh.
I don't.
You don't think his kind of face is... Never mind. I feel like the answer is no.
Do you think he's handsome?
Yes, that's why I said it. Well, of course, Anna, he's handsome.
It's good that one of us thinks
he's handsome. I don't find
him
attractive, if that's helpful.
Yeah, sure.
But attraction is so much more than handsome or not, you know? There's more there.
He's not for me.
That's great. It's good to have some. It's good to have some that aren't for you.
Andrew Garfield. You know what? This is... this is... He's also... He was in the social network. He was the guy in the Social Network.
Yeah.
Opposite the other guy in the Social Network. That was a huge...
They're all real people. And we're like, you know, he was the main character of the fable. That's great. Yes, he was in the Social Network
that
big time.
Had a huge character and real person shipping fandom.
People even shipped the twins that were both played by Armie Hammer.
People love to ship the twins that are both played by Armie Hammer.
Which is so weird.
I didn't know they were both played by him.
Yeah. Jewel, they're identical twins.
I didn't know it was Armie Hammer. That's the real truth. I thought it was just twins.
That's crazy.
You know who else is insufferable but handsome?
Yeah, lay it on me.
The other guy in the Social Network.
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
What? You find him insufferable?
Absolutely. Oh, he's like, I'm not afraid to say it. Like,
I find him nebbish and fun.
Oh, come on.
I really do.
Oh, come on.
I like him a lot. I'm going to see that movie that he's in with the Culkin boy.
That's my boy.
Kieran Culkin, of course.
That's
my boy. No, the things I would do to and for him are like unbelievable.
Numerous.
But it's more actually for me, it's that I wish I was him.
Me too.
Great.
Yes.
Great. I would also, you know.
I would date him and I am him.
Given that I can't be him, I would.
I must be with him.
Suck and fuck him like crazy. Help me, actually. What? That was so unbelievable. My brain was like, don't say that.
Can anybody help me?
I need a priest.
Take me out. Let me out of the podcast. I need to get out.
Oh, yeah.
Build a ladder.
Build a ladder. Good guy.
Ooh, so, good yeah, guy. The something to think about.
In conclusion... Something to think about.
In conclusion, I love Amelia. If you guys haven't watched Chicken Shop Date, you got some nice content to enjoy.
She's charming.
She's funny, and she dances on TikTok.
I've never seen that.
It's very cute.
Is she short? She feels short.
Very short.
Great.
It's part of her natural chemistry with everyone.
I love a height differential.
Everyone does.
I dated a tall, and that was awesome.
It's awesome.
It was great.
It's so
he'd have to like
awesome.
Bend down to talk to me.
It's
just to even like make eyes.
Like a parenthesis, and a very small parenthesis.
We're both bending down.
Yes. Oh! Oops! I googled myself. Time.
Your favorite segment. Go on.
Okay. This is going back a little bit in this theme of having a crush on Ruby Tando 10 years ago. Back when Instagram was a platform and not whatever it is now.
A platform. What do you mean?
Back when... Nothing. I literally don't mean... That was just me saying
great,
nothing.
Great. I was like, why don't I know?
Don't worry. So, but back when Instagram had a feature where you could see your friend's activity. Do you remember that?
Yes. Oh, when you could see likes on Instagram, couples were breaking up left and right. That was so good.
There was literally a feed that you could swipe to where it said, at male cowgirl.
No. Oh, yes. Sorry. My brain literally went, no, Jewel, that's me. That's not you. And that is the exact point you were making.
It says, yeah, because I'm looking at my feed. It says at male cowgirl liked at Garrett Palm's post.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I didn't know they were friends. Interesting. Anywho, it was very interesting. And it was a part of fandom. So it was like if a celebrity liked someone else's post or followed someone else, which is still a part of fandom, is to know who follows who. You would take note of it. And it was also a way to, like, find new people to follow and stuff.
Completely.
So, I was in San Francisco, I was wearing an okay outfit, not a great outfit. I was auditioning for college programs, college acting programs. So I was wearing this ugly blue dress and my hair was...
Did you think it was ugly then?
Kind of.
Why did you wear it?
Because I thought I needed to look very bland.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was my selling point at the time.
You were like, I'm so nothing. That's crazy.
I can disappear right in front of you. Put me in your acting school. And that is what they want in many ways.
Yeah.
But I didn't get in. Anyways, I did have one success on this trip, which is that Alexa Chung had just come out with a jeans brand. And there was a big picture of her on the side of a store. So I said, Mom, take a picture of me in front of this ad. And I posted it on Instagram.
18 is so funny.
I posted it on Instagram and I said, congrats to my, something like, congrats to my girl Alexa Chung on her new line. And I tagged her. I don't know if she, I think she might have liked it. I'm not sure if she did some sort of interaction with it. And then I got like 300 or 400 likes on it, which at the time was literally going viral.
Yeah, that's huge.
At the time.
Even some days.
At the time that was going viral and, it was because people thought that I knew Alexa Chung.
Because you said my girl?
Yeah, and now that I'm remembering back, I think she must have liked it. Because that's the only way people would have been directed to come look at my post. And she was probably just liking every single post that had anything to do with her new brand.
Right.
Which is good marketing.
You're doing some promo.
Yeah. And then I got a bunch of random comments from people. And did I correct them?
No.
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
Good of you.
Yeah, we're friends. That's my girl, Alexa Chung.
I have brown hair. I'm wearing a mediocre blue dress. We could be friends.
Hey, us? Never mind that she was probably like 30.
Probably.
Can 30-year-olds and 18-year-olds be friends? Some say, some say no. But this podcast has proven that they shouldn't be. Anything?
I'm not going to interrupt you.
You're like, where are you going with this?
So this isn't really a true oops, I Googled myself. It's more of a oops, I remembered something
that happened
something
to me.
Silly that I did intentionally.
That's a great oops, I Googled myself.
Got a couple hundred Instagram likes for it.
Oops, I made a friend.
And you know what? I would do it again.
You should. You should do it every time she does something new.
Be on the lookout.
Wow. What do you know that we don't? Maybe you are her friend. I like her so much.
Are you an Alexa Chung fan?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Just so in case anyone doesn't know, I don't know why you wouldn't know who Alexa Chung is. She's an it girl.
She's an it girl. She's a fashion icon. She was huge on Tumblr when I was Tumblr age. And she's British. And
she's really funny. She got famous for being a host on like MTV style shows. Yeah.
But then, her outfits on that were so bad, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. If you go back, I don't think she is styling herself in those.
Well, but you never know because it was a very ugly time for
fashion.
That's
true. And she has had bad outfits, but there's been an evolution. And I really do love her clothes.
Yeah.
I still save them, even though, because she sort of has an androgynous look some days.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
In fact... I had to learn that though she is a fashion icon to me, a style icon to me, and, you know, helps me imagine what my own style is, I have such a different body type than her.
That is, the hardest thing in the world is,
she
is looking at her in clothes and being like, right, but so I have sort of like a whole other situation.
I have like a whole hip that she doesn't have. And then a whole nother hip on the other side.
She's got a slim fig.
She's a slim figure and we will never wear the same outfit and it will never look the same.
It'll never look the same.
But I still wish I could wear a nice, beautiful tailored silk shirt and a black trouser and just look straight.
That's all I've ever wanted my entire life. If we're being real. If we're being real.
And that's fucking her fault.
It's sad. Yeah, actually, yeah.
She did that to us.
Alexa changed us.
Man, we really talked a lot about appearances in this episode.
I hope you guys are okay with that. Is everyone okay?
I think it's okay.
Looks is not the most important thing. I was going to say don't matter, but on this podcast, We have no gauge of what matters.
Kieran Culkin is the hottest man alive. And
Kieran Culkin is the hottest man alive. And John Mulaney's jaw is important to culture. And... and we're going to therapy tonight.
Do you have anything to recommend?
I do. I saw a movie. I've been seeing a lot of movies. I'm an AMC A-lister.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Shut up.
It is worth every penny.
I don't care.
I was so... Yes, you do. I was so resistant. Because all those things where it's like, you see movies cheap, I'm like, that's a scam. But this... People sold me on it because they wanted me to be a part of their entourage. And so we could all get seats together more easily. And that is something I'm willing to streamline. So I pay, whatever, $25 to $30 a month. I have no idea. And it pays off as long as you see at least two movies a month. Okay. Since having this, I probably see one to two movies a week. Because I see them for, in my eyes, $0. Because I've already spent the $25 to $30. And I saw A Different Man, which has Sebastian Stan, among others. Yeah, there are multiple actors in this movie.
Rare.
And it was my favorite thing I saw this year.
What's it about?
It is about a man who has a rare facial condition. And he basically... There is a treatment to have it go away, so his face kind of looks like everybody else. Like, he no longer has this condition. And how that affects the rest of his life. And I'll say more.
You don't want to spoil it?
Well, I don't want to say too much. But yeah, I really don't want to spoil it.
Is it good disability politics? Or is it gray?
I thought so, because there's two contrasting narratives of two people with the same condition. Mm. And one of them is really owning it, and the other is Sebastian Stan, who was like, I would do anything to have this off. So that was really interesting. And one of the other actor in the movie actually has the condition. So Sebastian Stan, his was all prosthetic. But the other guy has whatever, I don't know what it's called. I'm sure there's a lot of varieties of things that can make you look like that. But it was so good. Oh, great movie.
I'll check it out. Yeah. That sounds really interesting.
Big wreck.
And I love a movie about two men.
No. It's actually really more about Sebastian Stan's relationship with the woman who was in Worst Person in the World.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She's the other lead. There's kind of three.
Does she have a bob?
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about appearances.
Does she have a bob? Big appearance show. And then I brought a different man.
I know.
It's all happening.
That kind of like highbrows the whole thing.
Wow. Yes. That I brought it back to cinema.
You were
helps.
Like, this is a cinema that is about this, but it's like deep.
What's your rec?
I would like to recommend a tactic that I have. For my social interactions. Do you know, I love to think about social interactions.
That is kind of your favorite topic. And honestly, mine too, if I'm being real, it's all I think about.
I think about it all the time. And I know for a lot of people it's very stressful. You know, introverts have a hard time.
They probably think about it the most.
I love to think about this stuff. You guys should try loving to think about it. Anywho.
You give a lot of prompts that are, you guys should consider this in your brain. You're like, think about this, consider this.
Well, I'm...
Action items.
I think I'm a professor. Okay, so...
they're assignments. Okay, it's all coming back.
So, because, you know, we live in LA and capitalism and blah, 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 blah. Sometimes we don't see our friends for a few weeks. Or like, you see a friend and then you're like, great, see you in 2 weeks at a scheduled time.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And so, like, some of my best friends, I can go, like, too long without seeing. Whereas in a proper world, I'd just be running into you. You know, I'd just be running
into
you. We'd be walking around.
That doesn't happen here.
We'd be catching up in our day-to-day lives, rubbing shoulders, etc. But that doesn't happen.
Is your recommendation walkable cities?
Yes. No. My recommendation is that if you find yourself in this scenario with some of your friends, and it keeps happening over and over, you need to start fucking writing down the stuff you want to tell them. You need to make a list in your notes app.
Interesting.
And you need to think, I'd like to talk to my friend about this. Put that on the list. Show up to your hangout and go, I got some topics for us to discuss.
Like what? What's a topic that you have done this with recently?
Interpersonal life gossip.
Okay. But like, is there a pod safe example?
I'd have to. I'm scared.
Okay.
I'm scared to go into the notes app.
You'd be like, I argued with this person. I went on a date with this person.
Yeah.
I ate this thing.
And you might think, Jewel, I don't need to do that. I'm just going to remember the things I need to talk to my friend about.
That is how I feel.
That's true. But sometimes there's little teeny tiny specific funny things or something. And as you know, I'm not a texter. I'm not a big texter. So I'm not really going to text you in the moment that much about it happening because I like to chat. You just write it down and be like, this funny thing reminded me of you. And then you have this delightful little treasure chest to open up when you see your friend.
Oh.
And it's a love language.
That's special.
That's what I'm advocating for.
I love that.
Language of love.
Language of love. There's a new one. There's, I don't even know all of them. Never mind.
You were just going to name them?
Yeah. Physical touch, quality time, gifts, acts of service.
There's one more. Do.
You think if you do it slow, we won't get copyright? That's crazy.
I just chose a different song, actually, in the end.
I have no clue what the last one is. Do you?
I blacked out when you started listing them, so.
We can't do it again. A listener can't hear that twice. That's crazy. Whatever. The last one is make a list of topics to tell your friends.
I think it's a good idea. Check it out.
Thanks. Well, hey, that's the episode.
Thank you so much for listening.
Write in about what the last love language was.
Subscribe to the Substack, leave us a review, and stay tuned for Garrett's Corner.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. To deepen your parasocial relationship with us, find us on any socials at Parasocial Podcast. This podcast is produced by your hosts and Garrett Labonte. Theme music done by Brighty Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Pick of the Week, to break the funny format a little bit, I did want to recommend something serious during a weird and doobie time. I would suggest looking into your local mutual aid network. I don't know exactly where you live, but where I live in LA, and there is mutualaidla.org, which is a great organization that I know many people who volunteer and assist and donate to it. It helps unhoused neighbors. It helps those with lower income, providing food, hygiene products, and other services. So that is what I recommend this week. And next time, I'll try to return to my funny format. Bye.